Thank you, Tommy. So good to be here today, and I want to echo my congratulations to our graduates. I was thinking about some of them. I can remember when some of them were just little toddlers being carried around this church on their parents' arms. Now, graduated from high school, some graduating from college. We pray God's richest blessings upon you, that you'll have a happy, wonderful, and fulfilled life. An update from Pastor Kev and Julie in China. Eden Grace is now officially theirs, according to Chinese law. She is a beautiful baby, already bonded with Kevin and Julie. Already calling Julie. Boy, she picks up English quick. She's from China, calling Julie Mama and Kevin Dada. And she's really, from all that we can tell, she's really a loving child and just wanted someone to love her. And thank you so much. So many of you had a big part in making this possible in so many ways. And we're so grateful on behalf of our family for you and for this wonderful addition that the Lord in His plan and providence has provided for us. We would ask your prayers for Julie. She's come down with some kind of stomach bug, and hopefully she's going to be better today. Happened yesterday. They, if all goes according to plan, will be arriving back in Charleston on Friday evening around 7:15 or so, and we're just looking forward to seeing them and seeing Eden Grace for the first time. Now, if you would, take your Bibles and turn with me today to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6. And the title of the message today is Daniel, Mighty Man of God. Only two men in the Bible, as far as I can tell, are called beloved by the voices of heaven. Of course, one is Jesus our Lord. You will recall that when Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, the Bible says that the heavens opened up, the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove on the blessed Lord Jesus, and then God the Father spoke from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." As far as I can tell, while the Bible says we, when we are saved, are accepted in the beloved, the Bible does not say concerning an individual that he or she is beloved any other time except one other time. And that occurs in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 23, where the Bible says, God says, "You, Daniel, are greatly beloved." Study the Bible and you're going to find that many of the great men of the Bible had some kind of blot, blur, or blemish by their names. That's encouraging to us in a sense because it means that God doesn't use perfect people. He uses forgiven people who really seek the Lord and want to do God's will. But most of the great men have some kind of blot, blur, or blemish by their name. For instance, Abraham, as great as he was, failed, took the matter into his own hands concerning a son. Then you read about not only Abraham, but Moses, as great as he was, trying to defend a Hebrew slave, killed an Egyptian. David, as great as he was, had an affair with Bathsheba. Peter, great and wonderful New Testament apostle and preacher, as great as he was, in a moment of weakness, you know what he did? Denied our Lord three times. And Paul, as great as he was, the great apostle Paul, before he knew Jesus Christ, was a persecutor of the Christian church. And Paul was the ringleader in the stoning to death of the first Christian martyr, a man by the name of Stephen. So most of the great men of the Bible have some kind of blot, blur, or blemish by their name, except very few. And one of these very few was a man by the name of Daniel. Well, I'm sure that he was a sinner because all with the exception of our Lord, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible doesn't record any great failure in Daniel's life. Daniel was truly a man among men and a giant among giants. He lived in a foreign land, a pagan land, and in the pagan foreign land of Babylon, Daniel stood out like a giant oak tree surrounded by scrubs. In the land of Babylon, Daniel stood out and shined like a beautiful diamond on a pile of coal. And to this very day, with the exception of David, Daniel has exerted more influence over young people than perhaps anybody else in the Old Testament. Now, when you study the life of Daniel, you find that Daniel faced some great and tremendous adversity. For one thing, when he was still in his teens, about the age of these graduates, many of them, Daniel was part of the great Babylonian captivity, and Daniel was carried off to Babylon. And when he got there, this young man, with his dreams before him, had it all dramatically changed in so many ways. And here's what I mean. Not only was he taken off to Babylon, but there is some pretty strong evidence in Daniel chapter 1 that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, made Daniel and his close associates, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, eunuchs. The Bible says they worked for the chief eunuch at the king's palace. And in that day, all men who worked at the king's palace were eunuchs. What a cruel act of barbarism this was. Nebuchadnezzar, cruel, wicked, mean. Nebuchadnezzar attempted to take away their manhood after the flesh. But I'm glad to report today that even though Nebuchadnezzar did take away probably his physical manhood, he couldn't touch his spiritual manhood at all, because Daniel was a tremendous man of God. The life of Daniel is a reminder to all of us that there are limitations that the world and this flesh can put upon us. But our human and earthly limitations do not limit the God of heaven. And in Christ and through Christ, you and I can reach our full potential as far as the will of God is concerned. All God is looking for is a willing vessel. And we can, through Him, reach our full potential in and through Christ. Now, very briefly today, we're going to look at Daniel. The three things that I'd like for you to consider about Daniel, this great man of God. First of all, I'd like to call your attention to Daniel and his life. Let me ask you this question. How did Daniel become the great man of God that he was? Well, you study his life, you're going to find that Daniel had a number of tremendous, godly character qualities. I want to have time to mention two today. These are two that stand out to me. The first character quality that really stands out to me, that really went into the making of Daniel, the mighty man of God that he was, is this. Daniel had the courage and the conviction to say no. Now I want you to remember what had taken place. Nebuchadnezzar and his stormtroopers from Babylon had marched into the land of Judah. They conquered the land. They raped the land. They carried back to Babylon with them the spoils of war. And this not only included the wealth of Judah, but it included many of the people of Judah, the soldiers, the craftsmen, the bright and talented young people. Daniel, Ezekiel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were all in this number. Nebuchadnezzar had a plan for these young people. He wanted to mold them into the image of Babylon. In other words, he wanted to make these bright and talented Jewish men bright and talented Babylonian men. And so study the Bible, and you find that for 3 years, he trained them in the wisdom, learning, and culture of Babylon. He dressed them in the latest Babylonian fashions. He taught them Babylonian customs. He wanted them to eat the rich Babylonian food and drink Babylonian wine. But I'm happy to report this. The Bible teaches concerning Daniel that even though Daniel lived in Babylon, Babylon never lived in Daniel. This is wonderfully illustrated in Daniel chapter 1 when the king wanted Daniel and his friends to eat Babylonian food. There was a problem with this for Daniel because the food was not kosher. Ever heard that word? I saw something the other day that these big old foot-long hot dogs you get at Costco are kosher. So go ahead, you can have one every once in a while. It's true. Kosher hot dogs. Costco. Who would think at $1.50? Well, and you get a Pepsi with that. By the way, believe me, I've been there. I know all about it. So the relish is free too. So good deal, good deal. Well, Daniel could not eat the Babylonian food as a devoted follower of the Lord because it was not subject to the Old Testament dietary restrictions. So what did he do? Well, he had the courage and conviction to say no, but he did it. Don't you notice how he did it? He did it graciously and he did it diplomatically. Daniel 1:8 says he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He appeals to the chief eunuch in charge of Daniel and the others who was entrusted trying to make these Jewish boys Babylonian men in every sense of the word. But he says, look, let's just try something. For 10 days, we'll eat our veggies and drink water. You let the other guys eat the rich Babylonian food, the delicacies, and drink the Babylonian wine. After 10 days, we'll see who's the healthiest. And by the way, this is where the hallelujah diet that many of you have heard of comes in, right here in the book of Daniel. Well, what happened with after this experiment was over 10 days later? The Bible says that Daniel and his friends looked far healthier than the men who ate the king's food and drank the king's wine. Now, the dietary restrictions and all that, that's secondary to the lesson here. Here's what I want you to remember. Daniel, in this situation, took his stand for the Lord, and this involved the courage and conviction to say no. Sometimes in this life, you're just going to have to say no to some things. You do it graciously, you do it diplomatically. But there are times as a Christian, if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you're just going to have to say no to this and no to that. We are living in a day and age today, dear friends, and it bothers me. Of anything goes Christianity, you can live like the devil on Saturday night and come to church on Sunday morning and everything is A-okay with God. Don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? The Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Megineto is the literal Greek. It means God forbid. Let me tell you something. When you're following Jesus Christ, you will never, ever become sinless in this life. But the normal Christian life for you and me is that we do sin less and less. That's not popular today. But it's the absolute truth. And I love you enough to tell you the truth. Pastor Kev and the staff, they love you enough to tell you the truth. They don't want you to be deceived and tricked by the enemy. And so there's the courage to say no. But then the second great character quality in Daniel's life is the courage to speak the truth. Chapter 2 in the life of Daniel covers around 63 years. He was probably 17, 18 years old when he's carried off to Babylon. Never got to go back to Judah, Jerusalem, as far as we know. The next 63 years of his life were lived in Babylon. Incidentally, that's where modern-day Iraq is today. During this 63-year period in Babylon, Daniel rose to the top, just like Joseph in Egypt. Rose to the top, prime minister, working for Nebuchadnezzar, the very one who had treated him so cruelly. And Daniel spoke the truth to Nebuchadnezzar and then Belshazzar again and again, even though he risked his life to do it. For instance, Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Nobody can interpret the dream. Again, they called on Daniel. Daniel gave the correct interpretation. Nebuchadnezzar, his wicked and cruel kingdom was coming to an end, and it did. Then in chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar had another dream. Nobody could interpret it. Again, they called on Daniel. Daniel gave him the interpretation, though it could have cost him his life. You know what Daniel told him? Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar that because of his pride and arrogance, he was going to go absolutely crazy. And in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says it'll happen for 7 times. Now, we don't know how long it was. It could have been 7 days or 7 weeks or 7 months. But he said, you're going to go crazy for 7 times. You're going to growl and grunt like an animal. You're going to eat grass like an animal. You will sleep outdoors like an animal. This prophecy of judgment and doom was directed to Nebuchadnezzar. And according to the Bible, it happened just the way Daniel said it would happen. Nebuchadnezzar, this great and mighty and prideful and arrogant ruler of Babylon, went absolutely nuts, according to the Word of God, for 7 times. God judged him. Another time where Daniel spoke the truth, Daniel chapter 5. Nebuchadnezzar's gone, dead. Belshazzar's on the scene, ruling. Belshazzar was either his son or grandson. Belshazzar, like Nebuchadnezzar, was wicked. He was prideful, arrogant. And Belshazzar, in Daniel chapter 5, is having a big party. And he is offering a toast to the pagan idols of Babylon. Wood and stone and gold and silver. Pagan idols of Babylon. And he takes the holy vessels that had been stolen from the temple in Jerusalem. Vessels that had been dedicated to the Lord our God. And he pours the wine in, and he raises these vessels that had been dedicated to the true and the living God to offer a toast to these pagan idols. And when he did that, the Bible says that a hand appeared on the wall. And it was just a hand, nothing else. The hand appeared on the wall, and the hand began to write, "Mene, Mene, to Arson Perez." Nobody could interpret. Well, they summoned Daniel. "Daniel, we don't know what this means." And the Bible says that Belshazzar was upset. He was trembling. It scared him so bad. "What does it mean, Daniel?" You know the interpretation? Yes. King, here's the interpretation. "You have been weighed in the balances and you're found wanting. And this night, your kingdom will be given over to the Medes and the Persians." And that's exactly what happened that night. The Medes and the Persians slipped into the city, overthrew Belshazzar, killed him, and took over. You see, Daniel had the courage to speak the truth. You know, we are living in a day and age of fake news. It's amazing to me. Fake news. I mean, you'll hear something, it'll make the headlines, it'll be all on the broadcasts, the television broadcasts. "Unnamed sources are saying such and such." And then later on you find out it's not true. Fake news. You know, we're living in a day and age of fake truth. Fake truth. And there are a lot of folks, especially young people, who will fall and sink into fake truth today. They go off to college, many of them. Some to secular college. Mom and dad are footing the bill. But what mom and dad many times don't realize, and mom and dad, you need to get this and understand this. Our colleges, even some so-called Christian colleges, are full of radical people. They have an agenda that is far from what you and I believe. And you're footing the bill many, many times, and they sit in there, and they listen to that, and they hear that. You know what? They buy into it. They come back home 4 or 5 months later. And mom and dad wonder, what in the world's happened to my son? What in the world's happened to my daughter? He used to love Jesus. She used to love Jesus. Now they don't know what they don't believe like I believe, and they're going in a different direction. What happened? I don't understand. I'll tell you exactly what. I've got brainwashed. And the enemy tricked them and deceived them. Because, folks, let me tell you something. He's the father of lies. And he's got a lot of people under his control today. And you know what he wants to do? He wants to influence the minds of young people and trick them and deceive them and get them caught up in a lifestyle that is anti-God and anti-Christ so that they can do the same thing to the next generation coming along. I know where am I speaking. I know of a situation. And this young girl went off to college and said, she just went all, she heard all of that, bought into it. You know what she's doing today? She's a professor in another school, and she is just way out there as far as she can be. Breaks her mother's heart every day because her mother loves Jesus Christ. But she's way out there influencing young lives with a message that is anti-God and anti-Christ. Let me tell you something. You stay with the Word of God. And young folks, no matter what you hear in college, you remember that Satan is the father of lies and Jesus is the Lord of truth and the Bible is the Word of God. And if the Bible, if it agrees with the Bible, then it's great. Okay, amen. But if it disagrees with the Bible, you stay with the Bible. You'll be glad you did. You'll save yourself a lot of heartache and heartbreak in this life. And so we see Daniel and his life. And the second thing I want to call your attention to is Daniel and his lions. In Daniel chapter 6, we read that Darius of the Medes and the Persians, now king of Babylon. Persia is where modern-day Iran is today. Babylon, modern-day Iraq, is in that area of the world today. Daniel, like before, rises to the top in Darius' kingdom. He's appointed one of three governors, and he was Darius' favorite governor, a ruler. And Daniel 6:3 tells us the reason why. It says, an excellent spirit was found in him. One version translates it like this: Daniel was a man of excellent qualities. Now, the other two are jealous of Daniel. They go on a witch hunt. They want to try to find something in Daniel's life so they can run back to the king and tattle on him. Well, they come up empty. But in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 5, they indirectly pay Daniel one of the greatest compliments in the Bible because they say, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. In other words, if we're going to get Daniel in trouble, we're going to get him in trouble because he's worshiping his God, the true and the living God. And so they come up with a plan. They thought it was a brilliant plan. But they all didn't know it, but they were signing their own death warrant with this plan. They go to King Darius, who's full of pride and ego, just like the other kings. Said, oh, king, we got a great plan, an idea we'd like for you to go along with for 30 days. We'd like for you to be the one and only idol to be worshipped in our land. Darius says, I like that idea. And king, we'd like for you to write it in the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be changed, that anybody caught worshipping any other god than you for the next 30 days, God of the Month Club, we want you to be that god for the next 30 days. He'll be thrown, or she'll be thrown into a den of hungry and ravenous lions. King said, I like that idea. Oh, then they go and they spine out Daniel because they knew what Daniel did. Three times a day, Daniel would open his window and face Jerusalem, his home, and Daniel would pray. And after the edict went out, they were going to see if he did that. You know what? He didn't change a bit. He just went right back there and prayed just like he'd always prayed. As soon as they see that, they go back tattling to Darius. Daniel's not abiding by the law. We're going to get him. And all the Medes and Persians could not be changed. Now, Darius realized he'd been tricked too. And so they arrest Daniel. And Darius, he tries to encourage Daniel. It's an amazing thing. Daniel 6 and verse 16, he said, Daniel, your God whom you serve continue, he'll deliver you. Amazing statement of faith here. And so Daniel, this great man of God, gets in trouble, not because he refused to do God's will, but because he was dedicated to doing God's will. And sometimes you get in trouble because you're doing God's will. And so they take Daniel to that pit of hungry, ravenous lions, hadn't been fed, and the lions begin to growl. They're salivating. They anticipate a big meal. And they push the great prophet of God headlong right into the den of hungry, ravenous lions. And everybody expects to hear the sound of a man screaming, lions growling, bones breaking. Well, that's not what happened at all, according to the Word of God. Because in Daniel chapter 6, verse 22, the Bible says that the Lord sent an angel, and that angel shut the mouths of the lions. I like how the great preacher Adrian Rogers described that. He said they threw Daniel headlong into the den of hungry, ravenous lions, but the Lord had his angel there. He shut up the mouths of the lions. Those lions gathered around Daniel to keep him warm. Then Daniel took one of the lions and he fluffed him up like a pillow and leaned back on the lion. Then he took another lion and he propped his feet up on that lion to get comfortable. Then he pulled out his Old Testament and began to read between the lions. I really like that. But let me tell you something. That powerful angel of the Lord turned those lions into a bunch of harmless little kitty cats. And when Daniel came out of the lion's den, according to the Word of God, there wasn't one bite on him. There wasn't one scratch on him. He was protected totally and completely. Now you have to understand, there's some real lions in this world. As a matter of fact, the Bible describes the enemy. He says he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking those that he might devour. But don't you fall for it. Don't you be tricked by him. Now, and very briefly, let me ask you this. How can you and I face the lion's dens victoriously? Because Daniel, listen, he had to go into the lion's den. God got him through the lion's den, but he had to go into the lion's den. How can you face your lion's den victoriously? Or we could call it your crisis of life victoriously. Well, there are a number of things, but just as a look at the life of Daniel, we'll see how Daniel faced his lion's den victoriously. First of all, if we would face our lion's dens victoriously, we should pray. Daniel didn't change his routine. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, we find Daniel facing his crisis with prayer. Boy, that's a way to face a crisis, with prayer. Let me just mention very briefly the prayer life of Daniel. If you'll adopt this prayer life, listen, you'll go a long way and been a victorious Christian. How should you pray? How did Daniel pray? One, we should pray with humility. Daniel 6:10 says, and in the upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees. Now Daniel, for 60-some years, he'd been a big shot. First in Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar's kingdom, now in Darius' kingdom, prime minister, governor, the big shot. But he never let his success go to his head. Daniel always stayed humble before the Lord because he knew the Bible is true. Pride goes before a fall and a haughty look before destruction. Daniel knew that if you're not humble, you're going to stumble in this life. And so he kneels before the Lord, the Bible says And sir, madam, the biggest you'll ever be in this life is when you are on your knees before the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And so, he prayed with humility, and we should pray with humility. Then we should pray with consistency. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, in his upper room he knelt down on his knees three times a day, as was his custom since the early days. Let me tell you something about prayer. You and I should be in an attitude of prayer all day long. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. This means that really, all day long, you should have an ongoing conversation with the Lord. You get up in the morning, good morning, Lord, and you get busy doing other things, but then you pick that conversation back up, and you talk to the Lord as you have opportunity all through the day, and then you end your life by praying again, say, good night, Lord. But then you also have some specific times during the day in which you just set aside and you pray. It's very important to do this, because if you don't, the enemy see to it that you get so busy that you don't have time to pray at all. Or you only pray when there is some big emergency in your life. You know, some people have what I call a spare tire prayer life. You know what they do with a spare tire? They keep that spare tire in the trunk of the car, and they only pull it out when there is an emergency. Rest of time is kept in the trunk, out of sight. A lot of people's prayer life and a lot of people's walk with the Lord like that. They keep the Lord in the trunk of their lives. Then some emergency comes along and oh, they pull the Lord out and they pray and they seek the Lord. But then the emergency passes and what do? But the Lord tried to at least back in the trunk of their lives and go about their life as if Jesus did not exist at all. Folks, that's not the way to live the Christian life. Listen, you and I are to walk with the Lord every day that we live. When the world goes by with a song, we're to walk with the Lord and we're to fellowship with the Lord and we're to enjoy the Lord. But when everything goes dead wrong, we're to still do the same thing. There has to be a consistency in your Christian life. We are to pray with consistency. And then we're to pray with thanksgiving. It's so important. Daniel 16 says, Daniel prayed and gave thanks before his God as was his custom since the early days. From the time Daniel was a young person, 17, 18 years of age. Now he's in his 80s probably. Daniel knew that a big part of victorious prayer is praising the Lord and thanking the Lord. And folks, if you would really like to see your Christian life take off and see your spiritual life take off and your walk with the Lord take off, learn to be thankful. Learn to count your blessings. Well, Pastor Kev and Julie have been in China getting Eden Grace. We've had their children, our grandchildren in our house, and we've been having devotions with them every night. And Ellen found, I don't know where she found it, but she found a little devotion book that we used with our daughters when they were small. Same devotion book, read to their mother, now we're reading it to them. And she'll read it, it's a little short devotion, it's good. I don't know if it's still in print, but it's good. And then when she finishes, you and I will say, okay, what are we thankful for today? And they're getting it. One of them the other night said, Papa, I'll tell you what I'm thankful for. I am thankful for this bed. It is so comfortable. I'm thankful that we've got the air conditioning going here. And even though it's been a hot day, it's cool in this room. And I said, sweetheart, you're getting it. You're getting it. I learned a long time ago, and I believe this with all my heart, the way to get blessing number two. Now, you don't do this in order to get blessed. You just do it because it's biblical. The way to get a blessing number two is to be truly thankful for blessing number one. The way to get blessing number 500 is to be truly thankful for the other 499. Because, see, here's what God, he'll see that you're really grateful. And he said, that's a person that is blessable. But sometimes we grumble and complain. Christians can do this. We focus on what God hasn't done. instead of being humbly grateful to the Lord for what He has done. We should pray, then we should express faith. Daniel's a great man of faith. Notice Hebrews 11, verse 23. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises. Now here, notice this is a reference to Daniel. Stop the mouths of lions. Daniel had faith before he went in the lion's den, faith in the lion's den, faith when he came out of the lion's den. Daniel had great, this means great confidence in God. Daniel knew that whether he would be devoured by the lions or delivered from the lions, that God had a tremendous plan for his life. And he didn't doubt it. He didn't question it. He believed it. I mentioned my grandchildren. I hope you'll permit another illustration. Eli, my grandson, we were sitting on the couch the other night and we were having a granddad and grandson talk. And he likes to talk, by the way. Some of you teachers may know that. But first thing he said this to me. He just talking away. He started asking me questions. He said, "Papa, you ever had poison ivy?" Where that came from? I don't know. "Yes! When'd you get it?" I was working in the backyard and rubbed up against a vine, got it on my legs. "Oh, Papa, you ought to be more careful." I said, "Yeah, you're right." Then he said, "I got another question." "Okay. Papa, you ever had pumpkin head disease?" I said, "What?" "Pumpkin head disease." I said, "What is pumpkin head disease?" He said, "Oh, Papa, don't you know that's when your head swells up like a pumpkin?" I said, "I didn't know that." Where he got that, I don't know. But as if he didn't miss a beat, you know what he said to me? He said, "Papa, when I get to heaven, I'm going to get my new legs." I mean, if you know, he had spina bifida. And below the knee, there's paralysis. I completely thank God. It gets around pretty good. But he didn't question it. He didn't doubt it. He didn't say, "Oh, I hope so." He said, "When I get to heaven, I'm getting my new legs." And I thought, that's so true. I said, "Eli, you sure will, son." Faith. Faith. We need to have faith because faith, the Bible says, you'll never please God. Now, one thing very briefly today. Not on Daniel's life, his lions, Daniel, and his Lord. I want you to see very briefly how Daniel responded to this crisis in faith and how the Lord Himself responded to Daniel's faith. One, there was deliverance in Daniel 6, 21 and 22. The Lord protected and delivered Daniel from the lion's den. Then there was destruction because these wicked governors who had hatched their evil plan to get Daniel in the lion's den, Darius turned on them, and Darius ordered that they and their wives, their children, see, it's a cruel world out there. He ordered all of them to be thrown into the lion's den. And mom and dad, let me tell you something. The best thing you can do for your children is to follow Jesus and live with Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you something, you can save a lot of heartbreak and heartache for your children if you'll do that. But if you don't live for the Lord, They may be innocent, but you can still bring some judgment and condemnation down on them because not because of their sin, but your sin. They were destroyed. And then there was declaration in Daniel 6, 27, 20, 26 and 27. Oh, Darius, in a sense, got religion. Darius, the wicked pagan king of Persia, now got religion, in a sense. Makes a confession in verse 26 concerning the Lord. He says, "He is the living God." Darius went from wanting to get worship to giving worship. You know what God's looking for today? He's looking for some Daniels. Some young men and some young women who will make a difference in our world. Who will shine like a diamond on a pile of coal and stand out like a giant oak tree among the scrubs of this world. You can be that with God's help. Just follow the example of Daniel. It'll be an amazing thing what God will do with your life. Now let's pray together. Thank you so much, dear Lord, for this opportunity to share your word today. And we pray. we come to this time of invitation and commitment, that you would speak to hearts, change lives for Jesus Christ our Lord. We're so thankful for the life of Daniel. What a tremendous difference he made. And he's still making today. We ask all of this in your name. We're going to have our gospel invitation. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, your first step toward God is to come to God through Christ, your confession of faith in Jesus Christ. We have this invitation, these altars open. Pastor Tommy will be right here. By your coming forward, you're saying, I'm a sinner, but I'm turning from sin, and I'm putting my faith and trust, and I'm committing my life to Jesus Christ. Would you make that commitment today? And maybe you just need to come here and pray. Maybe you're going through a crisis right now, like Daniel, need to pray. Maybe you need to come and join with us here at Charleston Baptist, a wonderful church, and love to have you a part of this fellowship. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to come. As we stand together, let's sing, Pastor.